Today, again, as we honor our men and women that sacrificed for us and dying for the freedom of our nation, we honor the one that sacrificed for our salvation, Jesus Christ. And when I was thinking about this week and I was looking to the Lord what to speak about, one of the things that came to my mind is how things truly slip from our mind. Does anybody ever forget anything? You know, your memory sometimes isn't as good as it once was. Hello? So, you know, that's why I think the Word of God tells you and I that we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. You know, that we're to study to show ourselves approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, in our scripture text today, we're going to find the word neglect. When we neglect something, we might be careless. So many times, by being careless, we allow the adversary to come in and get a root in our lives, in our families. Amen. And so the writer of Hebrews gives us some instructions. So look with me in Hebrews chapter 2 today. Begin to read with verse number 1. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. The title of this morning's message is Open to Accept, Not to Neglect. And the three things I want to share with you today out of this text today is there's no escape, there's no excuse, and there's no excluding. Amen. One of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about for us to give an understanding is it's Genesis to Revelations. This is all inclusive. Now, I don't know. Everybody likes to go on vacation. If you went to an all-inclusive resort, what does that mean? It means everything's included. Amen? And you and I have to recognize that the law was not abolished in Christ Jesus, but it was fulfilled. God is the Genesis to Revelations and everything in between. So let's ask God to bless. Let's lift our word and ask God's blessing today. Can we make a declaration together? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for your word. And we're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. So again, Father, I pray that you speak through me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers that are gathered in this room. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, he says, how shall we escape? Amen. How shall we escape? So first off, there's no escape. So look with me in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 25. The word of God says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." Speaking of Jesus. "For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth," that was speaking about Moses, "much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." You know, the Lord was speaking to my heart is that all of us will be tried by fire, but we're not sentenced to fire. We're tried by fire. Our works are tried by fire, but we're not sentenced to fire. Jesus took us from the fire through the cross of Calvary. Amen. And when we look at reverence, we look at it being awe and reverence that God isn't just speaking for the sake of talking, like he was just talking because he didn't have anything to do. Every word has a purpose. So when I was looking at this, he took me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse number 1. The word of God says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall cometh, so shall cometh, as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, children of God, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation." You know, and what the Father is saying is, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. Amen. We're children of the day. We're not children of the night. We're shining. We're bright. Amen. Look with me in Romans chapter 2. It's sad in the day that we're living in, and the body of Christ, that the word of God has become a mockery. Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. His word has not changed. Times and seasons may change, but God remains the same. Amen. There is something steady that we can stand on and stand upon, and it's the word of God. Even as the times and seasons and things around us are shifting, there's one thing that remains that stands steady. Amen. When I was looking at this, the Apostle Paul is writing in Romans chapter 2 to the church of Rome. He says, in verse number 1, he says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest himself. Thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things." Now, wait a minute. Let me say that. Well, Pastor, were you just judging the church? No, I was not. I don't judge anybody. In other words, what anybody in this room does, you don't have to answer to me. You have to answer to God. He's the judge, not I. Amen? So when I come in the room and then Flip Wilson saying, here comes the judge, here comes the judge. Hello? He says in verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. According to what? According to his word. In other words, the only thing that we're going to be judged by God is by his word. What would we did with his word? If we did things against his word, we'll give an account for them. We'll give an account with them with fire. But thank you that Jesus saved me. I'm not losing my salvation, but I'm going to smell like I went to hell. Hello? Okay. He says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such thing, and dost the same thing, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Here's what he says. Here's number 4. Listen to me. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and his forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? In other words, we turn. And in other words, we turn or we burn. Amen? You know, hey, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with when we're wrong, just saying that we're wrong? Hello? Is it that difficult when the Holy Spirit reveals to you what you're doing is wrong and say, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm wrong? Hello? You know what happens? Instead of anybody admitting that they're wrong and the goodness of God, the forbearance of God and his love and his forbearance, it goes to the blame game. In other words, there's the justification for what I did. Just like Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Poor serpent didn't have anyone to blame. Amen? In other words, we spoke about it the other week. It says, he that is spiritual, restore the one. And even sometimes when we're not wrong, we go ahead and take the wrong. Amen? But we're not to judge anyone. And judging anybody isn't going to change their mind. Judging anybody isn't going to change their heart. Love will cover a multitude of sins. We tell them the truth, because what? What does the truth do? The truth is what sets us free. In other words, we're not winking. God's not winking at sin. I'm just telling you, he's not. So he says, first, there's no escape. Secondly, there's no excuse. How shall we escape so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In other words, it's placed before us, and we have to accept it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Verse number 18. Hallelujah. Verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Amen? He kind of says there's no excuse. Turn with me back to Luke chapter 14. Jesus gives a parable here. Verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I guess his wife keeping him busy. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, and thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. That my house might be filled. In other words, God said to go out and compel them to come. Who did you compel to come to the house today? Who did you bring in with you? Everybody was busy. You say, well, I'm not going to bother anyone. Well, let me say this to you. Hell's going to bother them for eternity. Hello? We should start bothering them now. We can bother them in love. You don't have a problem bothering them for anything else. Come together. I don't know. Somebody say, Pastor, you bug me. You always checking on me. If I'm not there, you always checking on me. That's because I care. That's because I love you. That's because if you're going through something, God wants you to know that you're not going through it alone. It's all in the way that you receive it. You can receive it as he's trying to control me, or you can receive it as someone that loves me. That's someone that cares about my well-being. That's someone that cares about my family. That's someone that cares about me. My job, my workplace, that God cares. And God's saying, hey, we're in the last days. We're in the last days. We got to start compelling some people. This house should be filled. Hello? This house should be filled. Amen. And everybody knows somebody that needs Jesus. And maybe you're not good at sharing the gospel. And you bring them in here and I'll share the gospel with them. Amen. And you know, hey, you might have to give them a little something. I'll invite them to dinner afterwards. Buy them lunch. Yes.
Learn the hand.
Learn the hand. Amen. Still bring them to church. This is what he says. Listen to number 24. He says, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Shall taste of the supper in the last day. All the way. Hey, God's saying to us, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Look at me in Acts 28. When you listen to this today, and rather it's here or it's on the website, and wherever it's going out around the world today, just recognize this is the Spirit of God and the Word of God speaking. Amen. It's God's Word. He sent His Word to heal. He sent His Word to deliver. He sent His Word to set captives free. He sent His Word to open prison doors. Amen. He sent His Word. Amen. We're speaking the Word of God. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about the Jews in Acts 28. And how he's opened, the door has been opened to the Gentiles. He says in verse number 26, and chapter 28, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And they will hear it. You may not right now be able to reach a Jew, but the Gentiles is open until that door is shut. This is the door, the time for the Gentiles. Amen. Amen. As he broke off the natural branch to graft in the unnatural branch, he will graft back in through the tribulation the natural branch. Amen. Amen. Does anybody know a Gentile anywhere? Anybody know anybody? Are you with me? He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation that was first preached unto us by the Lord? Remember this. Get the red into your head and you'll come to life. You'll be brought to life from the dead. This is the words of Jesus. Everything that the apostles wrote in their letters and the New Testament was a repeat of what they heard from Jesus. Amen? And by the Spirit of God, it was given to them. Amen? Amen. New revelation. So look with me to Mark chapter 13. We're getting red in our head. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark 13, verse 31. Remember this. The word is eternal. The word is eternal. Earth, heaven and earth, verse 31, shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants. How many servants do we have of God do we have in the room? And gave authority to his servants. He's been given to us. And do every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Amen. Amen. We're to be watching. We're to be open. We're children of the day. We're not children of the night. We're on watch. All right? And he says to us, Jesus said this in John chapter 6, and we're talking about no great salvation was spoken by the Lord. And John chapter 6, and we're looking at the Word of God. In John 6:63, the Bible says this. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, in other words, he's come to give life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So with that in mind, turn me to John 12. Just getting in the Word. To summarize what Jesus said. Verse 44, he that believeth in me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me, speaking to the Father. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. What does he come? I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Judged according to the word of God. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment of what I should say. Of what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. In other words, it's the Word. Jesus is the Word. Get that red in your head. Everything that Jesus said, he's going to hold us accountable to. Amen? But he didn't stop there. He went one step further. He said, not only of the words of the Lord Jesus, but are confirmed unto us by those that heard him. And that's speaking about the apostles. And we find in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4 of our text today, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Amen. That's his word being confirmed. Amen. So in closing today, are y'all with me? Everybody here? Are you listening? Are you hearing what the Father's saying? Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes, and we're talking about confirmed unto us by them that heard him. The Word of God, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 3, he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you were enriched in him, by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe in closing, what the Father is saying to us today is simply this. Hey, there's no escape. We don't have excuses. We can't make excuses. We can't excuse our sin. There's no excluding in his word. God, he was writing that for someone else, and it's not for me. It's for this group or that group or for the Jews. It wasn't for us. Well, my word says that God is no respecter of persons. The same word that he spoke to the Jew, he speaks to you and I, his Gentile. And there's an abuse of grace. Grace isn't a license to sin. Grace is the power of God to help you and I from sinning. Because greater is he that is in you and I than he that is in this world. We've overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and our word is sure. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Bow your heads and let us pray.